difficult times with the coronavirus, and that certainly also include the work and the education at the university. We had an interview with Professor Frank Baeyens, the Rector Magnificus of Eindhoven University of Technology, in which we posed a number of questions from regular listeners to Radio for Brainport and people who reacted on social media. And let's see what the responses are and whether the team here sees that as something that we can live with, literally, in the coming weeks. Limi, can you share your response?
Yes, so I think it is a period with a lot of uncertainty where a lot of things have to be decided, and both for students and for the staff, it is quite hard to have the period where you don't know what's going to happen the next weeks or next day even, because you don't know if university is going to start again, whether we're going to have online lectures. I mean, we're going to have online lectures for sure, but how long it's going to last. So there's a lot of uncertainty, and that was also clear from the interview. However, it was also clear that the university is trying its very, very best to support the staff and students of the TUE. And yeah, we truly appreciate that. And yeah, students, I think, are also trying their very best to keep up with their courses, yeah, and just live and cope with the situation that they're going through.
We also have Peter Simons listening in from Barcelona. You heard the story of the rector. You're an alumni of the university yourself. Is this the best the university can do? Situation in Holland may be different from situation in Spain.
Yeah, I think it's the best that they can do. In the end, you are not an island. You are a part of a country, and yeah, a country has taken certain decisions, and then you have to see what decision am I going to take that fits in the best into that national decision. And what they are going to do is perhaps the closest to whatever you want to call perfect.
Mm-hmm. My interpretation was that the university physically goes through a full lockdown but tries to continue in all possible ways on the internet digitally. That is slightly different from the approach taken in the Netherlands, where there is this notion of building up herd immunity. The idea that if enough people get infected but only have small symptoms, they build immunity and they will later on not infect other people. We need to have that anyhow, because we cannot lock down the country forever. So sooner or later you have to release that. This is a topic of a lot of debate and misunderstandings and many questions also from the readers of EindhovenNews.com. Chaitali Sangupta, that's right, you get responses like this a lot.
Oh yes, we have been getting a lot of responses from our readers. I can divide it into two sectors. First responses were where they were concerned when the schools are going to get closed after the cabinet took the decision. Yesterday on our site, we posted the address to the nation, the speech by our prime minister. And after he, in that speech, mentioned about the herd immunity or the group immunity. And ever since yesterday, the speech was posted there, we have seen divided opinions among our expat readers. Many of them seem to be a bit skeptical about that theory as proposed by the PM. But then, as of now, the expats seem to stay here and fight it out. What I have seen is that there is a constant comparison of measures taken in the Netherlands and in their respective home countries. And the very idea that people need to get the disease and become immune, it seems scary to some people. They would rather go for the widespread testing and tracking down the contacts, etc., rather than, you know, having 60% or 50% of the population getting ill. So it would be nice if we can, you know, have some ideas on this so that we can also bring about relevant information to them.
I have heard the story about herd immunity, particularly in the Netherlands, not from many other countries. So it sounds to me that the Netherlands may be specifically addressing this, whereas other countries like Spain may do something completely different. Andy, you are in Spain, but you are a student here at the University in Eindhoven. When people said you have to study from home, you thought Spain is my home.
That is correct. My family and I have been tracking Corona at least since mid-February, and looking at when would be the point to go back home. And I came back last Thursday, and I was actually on the final plane back to my city when I received the email that the TV would be turned offline. So here the government response has mostly been to shut down very much in the same way that Italy had, where you can't really leave unless you have a purpose of buying pharmacy goods, going to the grocery stores, or some half measures that they had at first where it was like you could go to a hairdresser. But that was very controversial and not really logical to a lot of us. But yes.
And if we connect it to herd immunity, is your predominant thought, well, it just feels safe because people are not going out, or more the problem like, how are we going to cope with this after a couple of months from now? Because then you need to continue to run the same policy of keeping everyone in.
I do believe that herd immunity seems the most promising option, but I also have the unique privilege that as my family had been looking at this situation for a while and expecting there to be a government lockdown, we had stockpiled on food before there was a panic, and we have resources to last us through like some of them. Average expectations of how long this can last, but the only issue I have with herd immunity is that it is very scary in the sense that if it is the correct response, then that will be good, but there will be some deaths associated with it, and then if it is not the correct response, that will just increase the number of deaths unnecessarily, which is something that I'm particularly scared about because I have two grandparents living in Spain that are quite sensible to diseases of this kind. So then it is perhaps more of a personal issue for me than a more scientific kind of outlook.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I would say that it's not only one problem, because people tend to think about it as the problem of the increasing number of deaths caused by the coronavirus. Mm-hmm. Though there are a number of implicit ways that the stagnation of economy and social isolation can contribute to the number of, let's say, also death, because if people are isolated, the consequence can be very hard to estimate, and therefore like casualties, these deaths can happen in either way, triggered by the inability of people to act, or just by social depression, just by depression caused by the social isolation. So I think the policy of the Netherlands to try to develop this herd immunity is a pretty reasonable one. Mm-hmm. Because also, like, if we just think about what do governments of different countries think they face this problem kind of the first time, and they don't have a strict solution yet, because they have to consult probably with scientists, build some model, convince some politicians, etc. So regarding all this, I think eventually all the countries will come up to the conclusion that the herd immunity is the option, and it's the kind of the main option.
Now, I'm inclined to agree.
Now, we have a number of engineers in this call who may look into this very much from the perspective of mathematics, probabilities. But I can imagine if it can affect you personally, you think differently. And that may be, Chajali, what also the readers of EindhovenNews.com, who have their all families in here, who are not all engineers, but also work in completely different job areas. I can imagine that the emotional feeling is a bit different from the cool calculations.
Exactly. Since they are all living away from their own home country and living in a different country altogether, the first response is an emotional response. That is what I also understand. And secondly, certain people are also, you know, bringing up the point that they talk about vaccines usually generate herd immunity. So that is also one thing which we are hearing. Although I'm not into these, biologists or all. That is not my background. So I cannot really say a lot about that, but that is also one concern that people are saying that herd immunity can be generated only through vaccines. Is that not?
That sounds indeed. Yeah. Peter,
yeah, one of the things that we that is still under discussion is, do you really get immune after this? And it's likely that it is, but there is not really a proof. Are you really going to be immune? And what also happens is, if you are immune, you still may carry the virus and infect other people. That is one of the things that would then lead that the only way to immunize everybody is just make sure everybody gets it.
Which also is scary, because then you have to do it in a way that the healthcare system can handle it. Now, just to compare the Netherlands with another country, Andy and Peter, you live in Spain at this moment. Can you cope with this situation?
Yeah.
I think we have the I heard before that you were introduced as living in Barcelona, and I live in the Basque Country, and we have the unique privilege of being two of the richest and better like with the strongest healthcare system provinces in Spain, apart from the province of Madrid. So I think, especially in our locations, this healthcare system should be able to handle it. However, one has to put into account that the north of Italy is also quite a rich part of Europe, and they had above average number of hospital beds and isolation rooms, and they still had a healthcare system collapse. So I'm sort of unsure about that.
But Anton also mentioned that this may be a big blow to the entire economy, that companies will collapse, and that in the end a deep depression may in the end also have a lot of severe effects, including potentially casualties. Peter, you not only live in Barcelona, but I guess you also have a view on the economic progression and how the country as a whole can continue to survive.
Yeah, one of the problems you will always have, and that is not only in Spain, is a large part of the economy or job providers are small companies, and small companies now get into big trouble. So they have to start or laying off people, or they have to find solutions like, how do we make sure those people stay on board? Because, yeah, well, if you start cutting jobs because you can't pay them anymore, how are they going to survive, and are we going to do about that? Now, at the moment we were recording this, it is announced that there will be a stimulus package of 200 billion euros will be injected. Banks will try to see whether they can postpone your mortgage, etc., etc. So credit lines will be opened. But still, I think it's going to be a big blow. But on the other hand, I thought, well, are we really prepared for situations like this? Because I'm afraid that in the future it will repeat. There will be another virus, or even worse, what about nationwide or even global cyber attack? Are we ready for that? So the theme talking about risk starts to become popular again, I guess.
I live in a house with both of my parents are economists, and also in Spain they were forced to close their business. They had an art school in the early 2000s. They had to close to the 2008 crisis, and we were sort of talking about recently how for the previous crisis, most of the country's reserves that are sort of like for this purpose of like saving banks, saving companies, were almost fully used up or just removed completely, or a lot of countries went into quite deep debts in order to not have a total collapse. And then that sort of left us in the situation where for this crisis, we are very underprepared in relation to the previous one. So I don't think, in my mind, I can fully grasp what the consequences of coronavirus will be economically, especially seeing how I will probably enter the workforce in about 4 years. even if that is just like internships or so, that will be quite a serious effect of this.
To connect back to the interview with the rector, it was surprising that many of the students are concerned about their future, also the way things are being organized, or even in how they can find a job after finishing universities. So it is something where also the economic consequences are already being considered by students at the university.
Yes, definitely. I see it as a challenge. Well, because first of all, nobody knows what's going to happen. We kind of have a short-term predictor, let's say Italy, because if you compare the situation in Italy, it develops around a week faster, so to say, as in the Netherlands. But it's very hard to say what's going to happen with the companies and how they're going to change their hiring policy. Well... Mm-hmm.
And then they will not immediately hire new employees if they come out of this recession.
Yes. And yeah, also we can have a significant impact on the global economy because, all the production or majority of the production manufacturing facilities in China, they are closed now. So it can be a severe depression even. And if we take into account the fact that usually global crises happen pretty regularly with kind of period of 10 years or so, just empirical observation, and this is the right time for the crisis. And I'm afraid that the coronavirus pandemic may just trigger it.
There are
Actually, it's already...
There are economists who say that in the previous emerging crisis, the European banks started to print so much money, the interest rates have gone down, so there are virtually no instruments anymore to handle it. And that's why the collapse may be more severe than it would have been if we didn't come out of a situation where we have zero interest rates, where a lot of money is being printed to keep the economy going. Regarding economical concerns, Chaitali, do you see concerns popping up from the internationals at EindhovenNews.com?
Eindhoven, we have a lot of internationals here. In the last previous few years, Eindhoven has seen an extensive growth of internationals. And as of now, we haven't really received. Those kind of questions or wariness among the international readers, but all I can say is that the interconnectedness of modern economies means that these kind of epidemics or pandemics can implicate international supply chains. And I can also tell you that the international community here in Eindhoven is looking at it with a lot of questions in their mind, and they also would like to see how the government measures, the kind of government measures to give a boost to the economy, what are those measures going to be. So of course it is a pretty uncertain and disturbing time for them. We only hope that we can come out of it in a better way.
Certainly times where you also need to have some kind of entertainment or to meet friends and family and to debate all this. How is the international community coping with this?
As of now, we have seen that there has been a lot of solidarity in the sense that there has been helplines made to care for the elderly. And since we cannot go out or it is not possible, so people are just trying to be more taking it in a different way, going for walks or meeting up maybe two or three people together, not more than that, and chatting a bit more, and a lot of online educational things to keep the children busy, and watching a lot of Netflix. I have heard from a lot of my readers that they are looking after these things and trying to take it day by day, just day by day.
Let's do a quick round. Limi, what are you doing all day?
So in the first few days, I was actually quite bored, and I was like, what do I do now? Because I have so much free time. Well, not really free time, because I'm supposed to be watching my lectures. But in the sense, like, I'm meant to be home, and I spend a little time outside. However, the kind of thing that I've taken upon myself is that I'm a very outdoor person, so I can't stay home. One day already all at home is a bit frustrating for me already. So my kind of rule, in a way, is that I would go out and take a walk or take a jog every other day. And I'm keeping up with it so far, and that's really what's keeping me going. And on the other side, what I also do is I have a lot of friends who live abroad and whom I haven't had a chance to talk to in years. So now is a perfect opportunity for me to connect with them over Skype or some other online platform and just, yeah, see how they're doing and how their country is also taking the situation.
Mm-hmm. And Anton, Alexey, what are you doing these days when Corona limits access to the university?
So that's a nice question, because actually I am kind of mildly depressed because a lot of activities are closed. Like even the rehearsal rooms to play music are closed. Some sport activities. I received a very funny email from Skydiving Association, which I usually do. They say that skydiving is also closed because there are like 18 people in a plane ready to jump. They can be dangerous to each other in this term. And what I do? Well, I just usually go to my friends. The last week, we tried to have some small parties, like 3 or 4 person, playing board games. Also, recently I started to jog around, though I hate running, but when you sit at home all day long, you start to love things that you never thought you would like to do. And the university, fortunately, has a nice place to do sports outside. And the last 3 days, I used to go there every day. But actually, right during this conversation, I received a message from my friend who was trying to get there like 5 minutes ago. And he said to me that the sport facilities outside of the sports centrum are also closed now.
So that's a pity. You have to organize things yourself. And that's also what more or less the rector told us. Eh? There's relatively little that the university can do because it's very much these bilateral contacts to fall back upon and to meet with friends. A podcast produced by Radio 4 Brainport with Limi Karapuchal, Andy Baroya, Anton Alexeev, but also Chantali Sengupta of EindhovenNews.com and Peter Simons from Barcelona.